Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat a bit about what is going on up in the stars above. Or today, we're going to actually dive a bit deeper than usual into the gene keys. And hopefully that means everybody's ready, got your thinking caps on, or got your hearts wide open, because that's what you're going to need. Minds open, hearts open, to really be able to see the gene keys in its beauty and in the way that it's meant to be understood by all of us. Sometimes you have to let go in order to understand what's happening. Indeed, that's the last thing or the last couple of days, the things that I've had to do, letting go of, God, the thought that I had to keep doing. I got myself into a bit of a state of fatigue. And from that state, you know, all of your weaknesses come up when you are in that state of fatigue. So I knew I had a lot of clients to take care of during those last couple of days. And so it was best for me to let go of the morning cafe or the Meta Cafe, the morning show, as I spent a lot of time putting it together. And this is a work for me that I love. But indeed, when you have fatigue already playing in the field, it can create a space where you can't see anything clearly. And kind of that's where I was. So I took a couple of days off. This morning I woke up. I didn't even realize that I would be on the morning show this morning until I got up. And I went, yep, today's the day I'm coming back. I felt more energized. I felt more in my own body and feel like I'm more my own self. So sometimes we just have to do that. We have to turn off everything. We have to turn off the phones. We have to turn off anything that kind of fritzes out your nervous system and go back to just being. And so I have done that. Even though I was working in behind the scenes with a lot of different people, it just gave me that time to do what I needed to do, refocus a bit, and here I am. So let's say good morning to Catherine Worcester, Debbie Hedden, Linda, and Chanel. Great to see you ladies out there. I'm glad you found me this morning. And we have quite a bit to cover today. But what I really wanted to do today is get a little bit deeper into the gene keys. And I know some of you are new to the morning show. Some of you are new to the gene keys. Some of you already are aware of the gene keys, having maybe had a reading with me on your human design. And the next logical step from there goes to the gene keys. So we're going to take a look at how that is designed a bit today. And also, though, we need to talk about what's going on in the stars above or in the planets above. And as well, we're going to take a little bit of a dive into the Pleiadian Earth energy today. So let's go ahead and get started. Again, if anybody has any questions or any comments, you can certainly put those in the chat feed. And I do go back and read those and see, you know, what your questions might be about the material that we're going over. All righty. So I come back today with the moon in Pisces. The moon in Pisces, of course, takes us and moves us more toward the imaginal, energy of compassion and sensitivity and intuition, of course, and fantasy. And when the moon is in Pisces, we are much more able, maybe willing even, to see the world of fantasy and the world of the unseen. We tap into it more readily. And of course, in the unseen world is also our intuition, the things that we know, but we can't put a finger on. Why it is we know what we know? We just have to kind of go with that gut instinct or with that feeling that we have about what it is that we need to do or who we need to meet up with or what it is that we're going to be experiencing. Well, the days that the moon moves through Pisces bring us to that kind of imagination and fantasy world. I often think of Pisces energy with the moon as the world of the ideal as opposed to the world of the real. So it pits us against the practical down-to-earth energies versus the more woo-woo, esoteric, metaphysical, spiritual energy. And of course, we feel it as an opposition, right? The opposite sign of Pisces is Virgo, an earth sign. Isn't it interesting, right? That Virgo is down to earth, practical. It lives in the world of the physical, and Pisces has trouble living with its feet on the ground. It's why it rules the feet in the human body. So Pisces rules the feet in the human body and has some trouble keeping its feet on the ground. And in that, sometimes we see all kinds of problems arise with Pisceans or wherever it is that Pisces is in your chart or when planets are transiting through Pisces. So the ideal is to stay attached or in contact with the spiritual, the liminal, the things you see, the unseen realms, while also simultaneously keeping your feet on the ground, remembering that you are first and foremost a human being on a planet that is physical. So grounding in the physical, but also that grounding in the physical means bringing in the spiritual and making them one. So with Pisces, we have that opportunity to bring oneness into our field, to bring unity into our field, and to sort of be walking spirit, right? Be the walking truth of spirit. So with that, we also have a couple of things to watch out for today. The planets engaged with the moon today are Pluto, Mercury in retrograde, and Jupiter. Now, Pluto and Mercury retrograde are actually not in a bad position at all with the moon. Pluto is in a sextile to the moon, which means that the things that we may have been struggling this week with as far as power is concerned, right? Power versus powerlessness. Those kinds of things now can sort of be healed, or if you at least have consciously worked with some of the issues that may have been, you know, popping up for you over the last couple of days, the moon and Pluto now help you transform that energy where a few days ago they were in a square to one another. Actually, they were in a conjunction to one another and they triggered something in you. So now they come together in a way that allows you to heal that power. You know, adding to all of the chaos over the last couple of days, the internal chaos, at least for me, was the fact that Mars was squaring Pluto. And that brings up and exposes every place within us where we feel powerless. And in that triggered place, then we are often reactive, right? We can react to things. So we're working through a whole host of maybe minuscule, minor irritations and so forth that sort of build upon one another and expose us to a bigger picture of where it is we still are not through the worst of our weaknesses or where we need to work through our truths. So today, though, we get to work through the healing part of that, and the trine to Mercury in retrograde also helps us with sealing that wound up and hopefully having cleaned it out, finally gotten it to a point where it can truly heal. Now, today we do need to watch out for expectations. While the moon is in Pisces, today it is in a square to the planet Jupiter. So remember, when the moon and Jupiter come together in a square, often there's the sense that we can do anything. So we overdo, we overspend, we overplay, we overexercise, we overwork, go on and on and on. And then we end up finding out later that we didn't have the energy to complete something, and then you know, that sets us going downhill toward depression or melancholy or beating ourselves up, et cetera, et cetera. So we also, during today, need to watch our expectations. What are we expecting? If our expectations are that things are going to happen only in a specific way and only through a specific delivery system, we may be sorely disappointed and miss when it actually shows up in our world, because it'll show up in the most magical of ways, as opposed to the way that we think things should happen. Your mind may also wander today. If you have something important to focus on, you may need a little extra effort to create that mind focus. But if you wanted to use your focus in yoga or in meditation or in a spiritual pursuit, today's your day, right? Today, our focus is sort of might take us into that deliciously fantastic imaginal world, or it could possibly take us into the more frightening imaginings of where the world is going, into the deep darkness that's potential here in the world. So today our mind may be wandering back and forth between, you know, hell and heaven. And what does that mean for you? And of course, you are in control of your mind. You are the one thinking your thoughts, and you can always take those thoughts and move them into a new direction. I guess that's what happens for us when we have the moon in Pisces, is we get a chance to see perhaps where it is that we blur that line between mind and imagination, and how do we need to work with that better in our lives. There's also a void of course moon today. This is the last day that the moon is in Pisces, tonight at 5:13 p.m. my time, 8:13 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. The moon will move into the void, and it leaves us with that square to Jupiter, right? Where we're having to watch our expectations and understand where are we overdoing it, or where are we not doing enough, even might be the, you know, corollary there for us to take a look at. And early tomorrow morning, 3:49 a.m. my time, 6:49 for you all on the East Coast, the moon will move out of the void and into the sign of Aries, a highly action-oriented sign that then puts us into the, here, I'm going to show you on the chart here, puts us into the squaring and the opposition energy with everything that's going on in Capricorn. And we still have Mars in Libra. So now if you look at the chart here, you see those highlighted yellows. Those are the energies that get triggered when something moves through Aries. So if the moon is moving through Aries tomorrow and tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow's Saturday and likely into early Sunday, then we have a square to anything that's going on in Cancer or any planets you might have to Cancer. We have an opposition to the planets that are over here in Libra, or planets in your own chart that are in Libra. And we have Mars right now in Libra. It's the last planet that we have there. And then also it is squaring the planets here in Capricorn, which, as we know, are the South Node, Pluto, and Saturn. And Chiriclo, and we have some lunar eclipse energy. That was the last lunar eclipse, of course, being in the sign of Capricorn. So we have some energy that can bring us to conflict or confrontation while the moon is moving through Aries. And when the moon moves through Aries anyway, there's already that sort of confrontational energy that ramps up. The moon representing the feminine and the soul and emotion, while Aries represented by Mars and action and the male principle and aggression. So we end up with a conflict between emotion, or having emotional triggers. So we'll end, tomorrow is a highly energetic day with other planetary motion. So we want to be ready today, staying in the peace, getting yourselves grounded, so that as we move into the more tricky energies of Friday, and particularly Friday and Saturday, even Sunday, that we are able to deal with that in the appropriate way through response and not reaction. Although I'm telling you, my own self, I'm having issues with reaction. It's too funny. Colleen, good morning to you. Angela, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning. And Suzanne, good morning. Lovely to see your face too, Suzanne. Thank you very much. Kathy Miller, good morning. And Angela says, good morning. April, hello. So here we go. We're going to dig into another transit that's going on today that may stir the pot. You know, we always have those pot stirrers, right? The things that like to dig up from deeper within us, deeper in the pot, right? We stir the soup so that the good stuff gets all mixed up. So we like to have those energies that mix things up, but sometimes in the short term, it creates a bit of that scritchiness. And by the way, before I forget, Tom's one of our listeners, and he may not always be here live in the morning, but he does listen to everything, and he's often interacting with some of you. His mother is 91 years old and is having a heart valve surgery today. So he asked that prayers and good thoughts be sent her way for a positive outcome. And so, Tom, our hearts and everything that we can do to help her heal and help you go through this process are sent out to you in fullness. And we just see and we just know, and our hearts just feel her ability to move through this peacefully. 91. Isn't that amazing? Amazing, amazing woman. And, you know, we know how surgery sometimes can create issues for the elderly when they go through the anesthesia process. Well, apparently she's going through a lighter anesthesia. So that'll be, I hope, make for a positive outcome for her. All right. I don't think she's ready to leave the planet anyway, and her astrology looked pretty good. So anyway, all good thoughts out there to you, Tom, and to your mom and the rest of your family. Let's get to the scritchy of the day, and that is going to be Venus in a semi-square to Mars. A semi-square, remember, is a half of a square. A square is a 90-degree angle. It's full-on conflict. We have to solve something, and it's very irritating. And that, out of that irritation, out of that resistance we feel, we seek the solution. Well, a semi-square, or a half-square, if you will, is a little less irritating because it's more subtle. So there may be that subtle tension that you're feeling where you can't really put your finger on what it is that's creating, you know, that feeling for you. And you know how we are as human beings. We like to know, why is it that I'm feeling this? What is the source of my problem or my feeling? Well, today you're likely not going to get to the source of it because it's not very obvious. We may look outside and we think it's something that so-and-so said or something that so-and-so did, or the circumstances in the world. Maybe, you know, something has happened, but it's never what we think it is, right? It's never that somebody did something. It's just the trigger. But today we may feel this tenseness, and it may be directed in our relationships. It may be, you know, the one-on-ones that we have with our beloveds, or maybe it's friendship, or maybe it's our work, our cohorts at work. It could be within the family, but somehow there's this tension that's there. And this kind of an energy, Venus and Mars coming together, that's the divine feminine and the divine masculine, and it tends to expose the competitiveness within us. And that's also something that I think is an issue. It causes us to react in a way that, you know, makes ourselves look better, feel better, like we're going to get ahead, right? So, or it can be the impetus to our really taking on our greatness, but it can also be that that competition sometimes is about taking away something from someone else in order to make yourself the winner. So we want to watch that we're not creating win-lose situations, that we're not creating lose-lose situations, but that we're creating win-win, and that the spirit of competition is about increasing everybody's worth, right? And raising everybody's consciousness and not taking away from one in order that you feel better. So, you know, for those of you out there who have the open will center in your human design, which about 7/8 of you do, this can be a day where you end up somehow triggered into being more competitive. Maybe you see something out there in your family. Maybe someone has a comment they make that triggers that competitive spirit. Just remember, you don't have to feed into it. You can choose to be okay with where you are and raise the energy for everybody around you, so there isn't competition. It's an energy of being sort of having fun and being in the spirit of unity, that we're both seeking something. So this kind of a transit highlights our differences. And this is playing into the Pleiadian energy of the day, because the Pleiadian energy of the day is merging, and the earth energy is choosing. So we have a seven choosing, and I'll go into that a little bit deeper. But so here we are on a day where this competition and this ideal of highlighting our differences through these two planets is in play, while the overriding energy signature of the day is about bringing things into unity and harmony. So can you see it sort of sets up that pull in two different directions? And we have to find the solution. We have to find the middle way. We have to find the way to go through merging our energies. We have to find that doorway, if you will. So we also have to watch out for impatience today and impulsiveness, saying or doing things with that knee-jerk reaction. So we want to walk a tightrope, but without trying to walk that tightrope without feeling the tension. just having trust and faith that everything is happening just as it should happen, and that you are always able to choose. That's the key. And that seems to feed so nicely into the Pleiadian earth energy of the day, as in seven energy. So today's day is seven choosing. In the Mayan calendar, choosing was ebb. Ebb represented the road, the life. It sort of represented the walk of our life on earth. So your life journey, your life path, etc., right? So ebb represents our feet on the ground on the planet and the road we walk while we are here. And that walk on the planet is about choice. And here's a great quote by Pia Orlean, who is, along with Colin Baird Smith, the author, along with LARCMA, the Pleiadian group that they channel, created the Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology and the calendar that goes with it that we're working with every day. So choosing, here's the quote, choice is the most powerful energy we humans have at our disposal for determining our own reality. Amazing, right? Choice is the most powerful energy we humans have at our disposal for determining our own reality. In every moment, we are choosing. And the only things that are autonomic is breathing, right? I mean, you could say we're actually choosing to breathe as well. I mean, we could seek to end our own lives, but you know, there are certain things that go on without our conscious awareness. Breathing is one of them. Your body, all of your organs are working according to plan without your conscious choice. Your skin is being replenished. All of your cells are being replenished, again, without your consciousness involved in it. But in every moment of every day, there is a choice, and your choice is in how you react to the things that are showing up around you or in your life. And that is why a day like today is so powerful, because we get to look at what are we choosing. If you are triggered by someone with the Venus semi-square Mars energy today, and you're, you know, trying to hold on to your temper, or you're working through impatience, or you're working through impulsiveness. And then we have the square to Jupiter, where sometimes we overreact. Anything you can put the word over in front of, we do. Overdo, overreact, over, you know, drink, over speak, blah, blah, blah. Today is about choice. Always in the moment, we have the energy of choosing. Now, universally, the energy of the day is the seven, which is the energy of merging, and it is a doorway between worlds. Seven creates that doorway where we can understand some of the hidden truths about unity, where we can transcend conflict, and we can merge opposites into a harmony of sorts. And literally, this is the search for cosmic truth. I like that. I usually call it the cosmic, or I usually call it the capital T truth, but I like cosmic truth. It's the biggest truth out there. We all think that we have this piece of the truth, right? Religions think they have the truth, but we have many religions that all hold many pieces of some of the truth. What is the real truth? That is our search for the cosmic truth, the bigger truth, the unifying truth on the planet. And that is something that we are here to try to discover and understand. And it also is merging different truths into oneness. So interesting day, I think. From one hand, we're being tasked to bring things together into unity, into a harmony, while at the same time, the planets are aligning to really bring that up to the surface. So likely what gets exposed to you are any places where you have not merged peacefully the two different pieces of yourself, or the two conflicting energies that you're experiencing. Fun, fun, fun stuff, right? Let's see who else is joining us. Dawn, good morning. I'm excited to hear how you did in your election, Dawn. Let me know. You can do that here, or you can send me an email. Christine says, good afternoon, or God afternoon. I like that. Good morning, Mary Tapping Maskell. Colleen says, prayers and healing energy sent to Tom's mom. Thank you. I know he appreciates that, and he will read these comments later. Kathy Miller says, good morning, definitely feeling half squared today. why do seven eighths have an open will center? Is that the population at large or just us followers? That is the population at large, Dawn, and that's a really great question. Why does that happen? You know, the centers are, the centers in your human design are either open and defined, or they are white and, open or defined. So if they're open, they're white. And if they are defined, they're the colored in places. The colored in places are where you are broadcasting your own authentic energy. The open centers are where you are taking in through the conditioning field, the energy from around you, and you tend to amplify that and rebroadcast it. But it is those open centers in our human design that bring us wisdom, where we are learning to be the truth of who we are. And it is interesting that that will center, or the ego center, or the heart center, we call it different names, is open for most of the population. Yet what happens in that is how, this plays highly into the energy predominant here, especially in the West, and the East is quickly catching up, of this energy of our doingness, our doing and doing and doing. It takes us away from the human being. And I think the open will center also plays into, it's only really been around on the planet maybe for about 500 years. 500 or 600 years. And you might think that's a lot of years, and indeed it is. But if you take that against the backdrop of time, our time as humans on the planet, then it's just a little, little nick in time where we are learning about being an individual. Because this particular center is broken off from the identity center, where in the identity center, we saw ourselves as all one and all a part of the like a single cell organism that's part of a bigger organism. Once the will center split off from the identity center, it was the rise of the energy of individuality. And I can imagine that from an evolutionary standpoint, that energy for most people needed to be open in order to even see how it would be possible to break away from the whole. And I think that drives for us on this planet that individuality, that part of us that wants to be different, right? To be seen, valued, heard, and recognized for our individual contributions. Unfortunately, it also creates a problem on the earth because most of you, me, you, all of us included, are very unaware that this is what is happening through our human design. Remember, human design's only been on the planet since about the 80s, mid 80s at that. So we're just learning about all of this and how to live from our truth, even in the will center or the ego center. So it is interesting that it's open for most people, but I think that is the way that we needed to be, maybe going a little bit over the edge toward being highly individualized so that we can see from that perspective later on here that we are all a part of a bigger whole. And that even though you may have this individual square, let's put it in terms of a quilt, you're an individual square in the bigness of this quilt. If we take your square out of that quilt and make it separate, then there's a big hole in the quilt. Right? It doesn't maintain its integrity. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't look the same. It loses some of its beauty. So we are finding our own inner beauty so that we learn to put it back into the whole. And then we can again see how the individual plays a part of the whole and how the whole is made up of all of these individuals. I know that's the long way around answering that question for you, Dawn, but I hope it answers that question for you. I think it is that there's a significant portion of the population at this moment that needs to find their own identity and then learn how to bring that apart or bring that together with unity. And it's interesting because the channel in your human design that bonds those two together, there's only one channel that brings together the will center to the identity center. And it starts with the gate of shock and ends at the gate of universal love. So it's bringing the heart back together into two pieces. And isn't it interesting, we have a multi-chambered heart, literally in the body. We have a multi-chambered or a dual hemispheric brain. And so even our own bodies show us where we've got the split. And in, you know, but yet the body parts work well together, right? They work well together. Your heart chambers, even though they're separate, all work together to pump blood, right? To oxygenate the blood coming in and to send the oxygenated blood out to the other parts of the body through the organs and et cetera. It works together. Without that togetherness, there's heart attack or there's, you know, issues in the heart. And literally, the will center recognizes that part of the body, the heart. So if you're having heart issues or you're having anxiety that you feel in the heart through palpitations, perhaps, or that, or chest pain, or what do they call that? Angina. You may be significantly experiencing that duality from where your will and your heart and your individual self is separated off from the big part or the whole. And of course, even your heart can't work with all those chambers firing together. Your brain cannot work unless both hemispheres come together, right? So the body shows us how duality works well together, but our own lives at this point are the journey to bringing those back together. It's kind of interesting. All right. No comments on that. Okay, great. If you don't understand what I mean, let me know. By the way, that channel is called the Channel of Initiation. It is literally the journey of the shaman, of the sorceress, of the witch, of the priestess, of the high priest, high priestess. This is the energy of initiation that initiates us into the higher spiritual truths. And often that is precipitated by some kind of shocking experience, usually in your childhood, that triggers that hero's journey, right? That quest for the truth. And some of you had these wonderful childhoods, but then something at some point in time happens that sets you out on a quest. And the quest is to find unity again, right? So our whole lives are about that quest to bring these parts back together so that our inner dynamic, our body and the organs in the body that work so well together are modeled in the outer world where we work with all of those different energies and bring them all together. So that great conversation starter there, Dawn. Physical body and spirit are connected. Maybe why so many men have heart attacks cut off from the heart. Well, that's true too, but you also, that center in human design is the center that is about the management and allocation of resources, time, energy, money, etc. And in this reality, somewhere along the age of the Industrial Revolution, maybe even just before that, we went off on a tangent of productivity and without rest. So this particular center, the will center, ego center, heart center, is a motor in our bodies. And the motor here is energy that pulses. It is like a heartbeat. And the heart recovers in that small space between beats. And it, you know, gets ready for the next beat. And in our lives, we miss that beat where we need that recovery, where we're all going, 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 going. And we never stop to question why it is that we are caught up in competition. This is a center for competition. It is the center for will. It is the center that has the gate of control on it. And it is our, and likely it was men that began this because they were out there, right? They're the ones that felt that were supporting the families, right? They were the ones supporting. They were the ones out in the workplace. They were the ones that felt the rising spirit of competition and individuality that put a lot of pressure on them. And then they would miss the heartbeat, the space between the beat where they could rest. And when I do readings for people, I often point out the energy of animals. If you watch the animal kingdom, how many of you have dogs or cats and you watch your, and multiples right there. Have you ever watched your dog or cat at play, especially when they're playing with another animal or even when they're playing with you, right? You can only throw the ball so many times and then the dog or the cat, you don't throw a ball to a cat, but maybe you do, will stop. right? They come to a natural resting spot and they either lie down or they just stand or they go get water or a bite of food. They are really in tune when the pulse stops and they rest, they rejuvenate. Then they get back to playing and doing and doing, and then they stop. That's what this energy center does. It goes and goes. The natural order of things is it goes and then it stops. And then it goes and then it stops. We miss the stop. We keep going. And we can do that while we're young. We can do that when we're young because we, you know, our bodies are youthful. As we get a little older, then what begins to happen is it starts to stimulate anxiety within us. And it can rise to the level of heart attack, stroke, high blood pressures, etc. So it's an important center that we're learning a lot about. And where we get caught up in human doing instead of human being is where we need to look. That spirit of competition, right? That wanting to be the keeping up with the Joneses sort of energy where we just keep doing and doing. And why are we doing it? What's the void that we're filling? That's kind of what we also need to look at here. What is the void that you're filling with all of this activity? And there are a lot of reasons. The people who have this center defined have access to this pulse in a more consistent way. I can tell you, I have this center defined and I get that energy. I get it when I'm done during the day, my phone goes off. You guys, if you're texting me at night, if I answer, great. If not, it's going to be the next day because when I am done, I'm done. I have the ability to shut off. And I may shut off a couple of times throughout the day. I just shut off for a couple of days in the running here this week because I understood that pulse, that timing. It was time to rest. And I had been ignoring that pulse. So it caught up with me. So we have to watch out in our own lives where it is that we're pushing the river instead of being in the flow of the river. Okay. Good morning, Irina. Okay, Don, I hope you get that. And if you guys have any questions, please go ahead and put those out there. Now I want to switch over to human design and really likely going into more of the gene keys energy. Yesterday, the sun and the earth changed gates. We're finally done with the sun and earth at fear gates until we get over into March, where again, now the earth then in March will begin to sit at the fear gates. But for right now, we're done until we still have Mars going through those gates. But for the most part, the sun and earth combination, the challenge, the gauntlet being laid down in front of us is done for the time being. And we've moved now to the gate one at the sun and the gate two at the earth. And these are the gates that start the whole human design process. They start the gene keys. They start the journey, right? They're the first two. The sun at gate one is about that creative energy, the energy of self-expression and starting the process, right? Everything starts with a creation, with a creative impulse to make something, to build something, to draw a picture, whatever it is, right? It starts in the imagination and jumps out into the real world. The gate, it is the most yang gate. So it's the most masculine gate. It's a masculine energy of doing, of getting out there. But it's paired with the earth at gate two, which is the most feminine of the gates, the most yin gates, which is the energy of beingness, the energy of receptivity. And so we have the two gates vying for attention from us right now. And today I thought in the gene keys, we would look at what the hologram is showing us, the holographic profile or the hologenetic profile. So each of you, I hope, has gotten your hologenetic profile. Some of you who are new that don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to the gene keys page, genekeys.com, I believe it is. And up at the top will be a little link that says free profile. You click on that link and you enter your birth information and you get the equivalent of a holographic profile. And they're, you know, to their credit right now, the Gene Keys, creators of the website, they're putting more and more information out there that you can see what those gene keys are, at least the main ones, how they are represented in you personally through your profile. But the one thing that we really understand really well, I think, maybe we don't understand it as human beings, but what it shows us or seeks to have us understand is the multi-layered context of who you are. That you're not just this, you know, 2D, 3D replication or representation of a body of a human, but that you're made up of many layers, that in fact, your DNA is even made up of many layers. We call those layers the shadow, the gift, and the Siddhi when we're talking gene keys. And it's the nature of how it is we're designed to move up, to evolve our consciousness and our beingness while we're here in the physical plane. Now, what maybe some of you are not aware of is I'm usually talking to you about the gates and what each one of the gates mean in terms of the hologram. So for example, the sun at gate one is the shadow of entropy, the gift of freshness, and the Siddhi of beauty. And so we look at the gates as, you know, that hologram, but the gates are just really like the codons on your DNA. It's just one little piece of the whole. Everything in your gene keys, everything in your human design resonates in a holographic pattern. Remember on Monday, we were talking about fractals, human fractals, and that every one of us is a piece of a bigger organism. So you are a fractal of the bigger tribe or community that you're part of, but also a part of the human organism on the planet. So fractal energy is where we see ourselves as a part, that every part of you is a representation of the whole. So there's the whole and then the individual parts that contain within them the same code as the whole. So the whole has the parts and the parts have the whole. So there we get this hologram that sort of starts to develop where we can see into these multidimensional layers. So I'm waxing a little bit scientific here, but I think hopefully you'll get to understand why it is that I'm doing this. So the individual gates resonate in that gift Siddhi or gift, shadow gift and Siddhi, but so do the centers. So do the channels that connect those centers. And those channels that connect the centers are part of streams of consciousness that move through your human design. In human design, we call it circuitry, but in gene keys, we're calling it the streams of consciousness. So when we look at the gates one and the gates two, I'm going to show you a human design chart. Ignore all my notes all over it. These are things that I'm thinking in the morning. So when we look at the gate one, it is sitting here on the identity center, the G center. It is pointing up toward the throat. So it's looking for expression through the voice, through manifestation. And the gate two connects down here with the sacral through gate 14, bounteousness. So we have two real, and this up here, the gate eight up in the throat is the gate of contribution. So we see the expression of one, creativity and beauty moving out of entropy as a way to connect to our contribution. And everybody has a unique contribution they're making to the whole here on the planet. And then the earth at gate two is taking us down to the fullness of that expression in the sacral and where it's bounty, right? So we have some really high creative energy here. So if we take the center, which is the identity center, some of you may have that center colored in, and if you do, it's yellow. Some of you may have that center white, but it is shaped like a diamond. So it sits center mass. It is the seat of the soul, and it is magnetic, and it has a one-way magnet, and the one-wayness of that magnet is it's attractive. It attracts you to, draws you to the right people, the right opportunities, and the right timing when we stay aligned with that center. Now, that center also can be seen through the shadow, the gift, and the Siddhi. In the shadow, it is me. It is the energy of me, all about me. And it is sort of shielded from seeing that the me is part of the bigger whole. In the gift, that center is about self, the self as the higher expression of me, right? As a self, I see that I am part of something bigger. And from self, we move into, I bet you guys could guess, from the self, we move into oneness, right? Where not only do we see ourselves as that square of the quilt, but we see ourselves as a part of the whole of the quilt. That if you're creating the quilt, you're this one little piece of it. It doesn't take away from the whole. And yet if you pull yourself out of it, if you were only you and not part of the whole, the quilt is missing something. Please tell me you guys understand this, because this holographic nature, I think, is where I think we're ready to go there. We're ready to see through into layers and not just that 1D, 2D, 3D even sort of look at things. We're looking at it deeper, or we're looking at it multidimensionally. That's a better word. Now, that center holds the channel 1-8, right? It's the beginning, the gate 1 where the sun is right now leads up to the gate 8. And then also gate 2, where the earth is part of a channel that leads down to the gate 14. Both of those channels, both of those gates then as well, are part of the stream of creativity. So the circuitry, if you will, that it's a part of is all about creation. So it's creative energy. So it takes both the yang energy and the yin energy to be a part of creation, to create. We can't do it all do with just the doing, and we can't just sit within the being. We have to bring them both together in order to be creators. It is the great bonding of yin and yang and the great coming together of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. If they are not brought together, then creation goes awry. It goes astray. It gets out of the line of our values, of life in general, of the joy and the bliss of being in life, being alive and being creators. So again, we see in human design and we see it in the gene keys where these two great energies need to be brought together and used in their appropriate ways. Sounds very much like a lot of the wisdom from other traditions, right, that we are getting to. Now, the two channels involved are different. They're still part of the stream of creativity, though. The channel 1-8, let me show you a picture of where that would be. 1-8 goes from here up to the top. Now, some of you are going to have that complete channel open. Today you won't, because today the sun is sitting at 1. Some of you might have this all filled in. Some of you may have either the gate 1 or the gate 8 filled in. Everybody has this a little bit differently in their chart, right? So it's just your uniqueness, that how you would respond to this energy in that is showing up on the planet right now. Well, that channel is called the channel of originality. And it's interesting because it has some real beautiful energies in the channel. When we look at it through layers, we see in the shadow, it's a disturbance, right? So if you think about the great masters of art or the great musicians or your own self, your own journey, when you're in the process of creating, that creative energy often starts with a disturbance, right? There's something arising within you that is seeking expression. And whether that's going to come out in art, in business, in relationships, or in writing, dance, who knows, right? We don't know. It's going to be as unique as you are as to how that rising up, that disturbance is going to get expressed. But that channel of originality begins in disturbance, moves up to originality. The name of the channel or the stream, the channel is often the gift. So we have the gift of originality, where you're rising to express your creativity becomes originality. You're putting your own unique spin on what it is that you're creating. And the highest expression in this channel, where the sun is, you know, triggering energy this week, is about magnificence, right? Embracing your magnificence in whatever way it is that it's being expressed out there in the world. You are truly a magnificent being, a part of the whole. And without your part in that whole, the tapestry or the quilt has a hole in it, right? So you're part of that whole. All right. By the way, the stream of creativity itself also is arranged in shadow, gift, and city. And that whole stream, so that whole stream is pretty big, actually. Do I have a picture? I do, but I'd have to dig for it. Maybe I'll bring that out tomorrow. It comprises almost all of the outer and then up to the head energies in some way, right? Not all the gates, but triggering one gate in each of those centers. And that means it's a pretty, you know, creativity is a widely experienced energy in the body. So it's moving through almost all the centers. And that particular energy begins in chaos. Out of the primordial chaos was the earth created, right? The chaos of the Big Bang is where molecules and the beginnings of life coalesced. Chaos leads to the gift of creativity. And then out of creativity comes the energy of love. So the highest expression in this stream that we are beginning this week with the sun at gate one is the energy of love. Now, the sun at gate one is always creating. This is masculine energy. This is the divine masculine. This is heaven in motion energy. That's what the I Ching sign is about. Always creating, heaven in motion. It is originating energy. It is penetrating energy. It is advantageous energy. It is the energy of correctness. It is the energy of doing something, expressing. It also belongs to the Kodan Ring of Fire. The Kodan Ring of Fire is made up of the Gate 1 and the Gate 8. So our contribution to the world, the sharing of our gifts and talents, being born out of fire, fire being the creative force of fire. When we are living this in its shadow, the depressed energy in our bodies becomes very prominent. And we might give up, right? We may give up even trying to be anything because we are aligned with depression. Rather than understanding that depression or that feeling of being depressed is the womb that the creative energies are building in, are being created in. And in the right timing, those energies will be expressed. So we go into the field of quiet, and from that quiet, there might be disturbance, there might be chaos, there might be entropy, and eventually that shifts when it's the right timing, and we bust out with the creative energy. And on the other side, there are people in the more rebellious or extreme focused energy of this gate or this energy here in this channel, where it becomes frenetic. Instead, we don't want to be in the quiet. We don't want to be in the stillness. There's fear in the stillness. There's fear that if I sit down and rest, I might not get up. And in that fear, then we become frenetic in our expression of our energy. Here's where we become human doings, because we can't sit alone with our thoughts. We are afraid to sit alone in the quiet, in the nothingness. But it is out of the nothingness that somethingness becomes created. So it's sort of a conundrum here, right? These energies. Depression as incubation. Oh my gosh, that's awesome, Dawn. I love that. Depression as incubation. That is the proper framework from which to view that energy. And I'm not saying that there aren't people out there genuinely experiencing depression, you know, through maybe a chemical imbalance or needing therapy or something like that. But I would say that that sort of chemical imbalance has its beginnings in the spiritual realm, where we haven't taken in life in a way that works for us, and it creates that imbalance in the body. And so depression is a feeling, is an emotion rather than a state of beingness. So when you use the words, I am depressed, then you're causing it to be a state of being, which it is not. It is more appropriately the incubation period for what comes next, right? What comes next? What great work of art, what great work of writing, what great business, what great family building, what mastery comes from you next? That's what that would be all about. Great. Thanks, Dawn. I love that. Depression is incubation. She said, I'll be listening to this episode over and over. She's a human doing, right? And some of you are genuinely more like that because you're manifesting generators. Manifesting generators are meant to be busy, and they throw their energy out there in many ways, right? They're multitasking. But even manifesting generators have to have space for beingness. Right? Beingness. That is your natural state, beingness. From your beingness arises the doingness. From your doingness, you go back to beingness. It is a breathing in and a breathing out, right? Breathing in and a breathing out. It's a natural flow. Now the earth at gate two, holy cow, now I can talk like nobody's business, can't I? Earth at gate two is about returning to the one. Very, very much like the Pleiadian energy, right? Of merging, seven, that energy of merging, returning to the one, and it is always receiving. It is yin energy. It is the most yin energy of the human design of gene keys. It is magnetic. It is docile. It is receptive. We attract the correct resources to ourselves in the space of being receptive, holding space. Not doing, but holding space until in correct timing, we know next what to do, right? So it is a part of, this is part of the channel of empowerment in the gene keys, where the lowest expression, the shadow, is disorientation, right? We don't know where to go. And here's where I think sometimes that energy of frenetic energy comes from, where we don't know for sure what to do. So we just go out there and do everything, right? We just keep doing and hope that maybe we're throwing enough spaghetti out there that's going to stick to the wall, that we're going to find the right way to go, because that way stuck. But think of the energy loss there. Think of the energy waste. Only manifesting generators actually have the ability to hold that kind of energy. The rest of us, even generators, we're not meant to spaghetti throw. So we can get very disoriented in our need to try to find the right path. And instead of being, and holding space to find that or for it to find us, we go out and do it. We're looking. Where indeed, if we were to just hold that space, it would lead to the gift of empowerment. We would become empowered. And from empowerment, we would lead to the gift of materialization, right? Everything popping up in your reality. So we have this channel of empowerment where part of the power is in being receiving, is in reception, not in the doing, but in the being. And the beingness, the gate two leads to the gate 14 of bounteousness, because then from the state of receptivity, we find the right thing to do that brings us prosperity. And if we flow the energy the other way, when we're living from our heart, when we are responding to life, then in that responding is bounty, and that bounteousness leads us to being receptive to what comes next. So these energies are gates that, you know, work back and forth. The repressed expression of the energy of the earth at gate two is about being lost or feeling dislocated, not knowing where you are, who you are, what to do. And the more rebellious state, the more active state, is in being regimented, right? Very militaristic, very disciplined approach, and being overly regimented, that, you know, tunnel vision. I can only see what's in front of me. I cannot see what's out here on the periphery. And I might miss the cues of, you know, where the road might diverge for a bit and then come back to the main road. So we have those two energies. So we're, the gate two is about returning to the one. It is always in receiving. The earth is in the position of challenge to the sun's wanting to do. So we're challenged to be in order to see what to do. And when we find what we do, what it is we're here to do, it becomes our expression of creative energy that leads to beauty, that leads to unity, that leads to our expression of our magnificence. I hope all of that makes sense to everybody. It's really empowering, I think, to be able to see ourselves in this way. You are so much more. You're not just what you think you are. There's a lot of energies that are building up to create the whole of the human. By the way, the earth at gate two is part of the codon ring of water. So we have water and we have fire. Water holds space. Water conforms to the boundaries that it's within. And fire is the creative energy, the spark that creates, but water holds the space for that creative energy to incubate. So, okay. It's 9 o'clock. Wow. That is it for me today. Thank you all for joining me this morning. I will see you tomorrow morning. Tomorrow we'll take a look. I think tomorrow I'm going to find the Wisdom Keepers cards for the gate one and the gate two. We'll take a look at what that means in the stories, the wisdom stories. And of course, tomorrow we'll take a look at the weekend and hopefully we'll have some time to do a couple of card readings as well. All right, everybody, take care. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.